Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
It is Friday, and we are picking up right where we left off a couple days ago, discussing the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade and kicked abortion back to the states. Now, I'm going to give you some historical context in my observations on this case so that you understand what the original ruling meant in 73, 72, when they ruled on Roe v. Wade, and the philosophy behind liberal judges and liberal jurisprudence and liberal adjudication that gives us these insane and bizarre rulings that, thankfully, I'll remind you again, our Trump-appointed justices just overturned. Now, I made the argument last time that the Supreme Court could have gone further and not only kicked abortion back to the states, but actually outlawed it based upon the preamble to the Constitution, which secures the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, which means life and liberty under the U.S. Constitution is protected and guaranteed to every person, including our posterity, meaning every generation that proceeds from us, one after the other, every next generation is protected. Now, I also pointed out that the liberal court used this fluid idea, this judicial philosophy called penumbras or shadow doctrines, reading between the lines. And so when they read between the lines of the Constitution, not what is explicitly said, but what they assume is implicitly there, implied by the words, not there, but they guess that it's there, then they drew out this abortion right. But when you do that, it lays the groundwork, as I mentioned, to draw out anything that your mind can conjure up and say that that right or that doctrine is implied by the words. Even though it's not there, we're guessing that it's there because of the shadow in between, the penumbras, the doctrines in between the lines. Okay, well, here's where they found these shadow doctrines. From 1865 to 1870, as you're like going back to the Civil War, yeah, that's how absurd this abortion ruling was in Roe v. Wade. In 1865 to 1870, as a condition of re-entering the Union after the Civil War to get the Southern states back in, they were required to ratify what's called the Civil War Amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which, if you're listening and guessing, you are correct, have absolutely nothing to do with privacy rights or the murder of unborn children. They're about slavery, equality, and voting rights. And these are the amendments that the judges in the 70s used to sustain abortion. Is that incredible? What are the 13th and 14th Amendments? Again, in order to re-enter the Union, the North required the rebel states to ratify these constitutional amendments, thus making them codified in the U.S. Constitution. Amendment 13, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. So, Amendment 13. Abolishing slavery. Now, they didn't actually use Amendment 13 or 15. They only used 14. But what I'm doing is I'm putting 14, which they used to sustain abortion in its historical context as a Civil War amendment along with 13 and 15, and thus undercutting any suggestion or argument that there's something other than equal civil rights in these amendments, something such as abortion, That has nothing to do with it because the 14th Amendment is lodged between the 13th and 15th and have everything to do with civil rights and equality and abolishing slavery and nothing to do with abortion. So 14th Amendment says this, 13th is abolishing slavery, 14th. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, there it is. We call that the due process clause and the equal protection clause. And you cannot suspend a citizen's due process under the law because of race or previous condition of servitude. You cannot deprive someone of life, liberty, or property because of race, but all are equal citizens, and then the equal protection clause that everyone is equally protected under the law. This is statutory equality. By the way, we got statutory justice, social justice equality in the 14th Amendment. It happened in the late 1860s, in case anyone was wondering. Already done over 100 years ago. Now, that has nothing to do with abortion, but that's the very amendment they use to say, well, there's a shadow doctrine, there's a penumbra implied between the lines of equal protection and due process is someone's right to life, liberty, and property, and part of that is the right to privacy. What? What? This is a Civil War amendment abolishing distinctions of race and prejudice in the court system, in the legal system, and you're saying there's a right to privacy? What is that? That then allows you to murder an infant? This is how evil it is and how sick their version of jurisprudence, application of law, really is. To prove that the 14th Amendment has nothing to do with the right to privacy and has nothing to do with sustaining abortion and has everything to do with civil rights and equality, I'm going to read Section 2, which actually dissolved and repealed the three-fifths compromise. Remember that when they said three-fifths of the slaves could be counted towards the population census that would then give you the number of representatives for your state in Congress? We're not going to count all the slaves. We're not going to not count any of them. We'll count three-fifths of them. Well, proving that the 14th Amendment is about equality, let's read Section 2. Representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed, because they were living on their own land as their own sovereigns in their reservations, because that's what they wanted. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for president and vice president of the U.S., representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state being 21 years of age and citizens of the U.S., or in any way abridged except for participation in rebellion or other crime, the basis of representation therein shall be reduced in the proportion which the number of such male citizens shall bear to the whole number of male citizens 21 years of age in such state. If you didn't follow that, it was a lot of reading. In other words, all male citizens 21 years of age are voting. It cannot be denied. Everyone counts, and it's not denied on race. Everyone is equal protection, and everyone counts. There's no longer three-fifths of the slaves, three-fifths of the black people who are in servitude. They're all counted. This is an equality civil rights law, and they've turned it into a right to abortion. And how despicable and disgraceful, let me point this out, and disgraceful to our heritage as Americans in upholding civil rights, that they have taken our Civil War amendments and twisted them into a justification for murdering babies. And even more so, how more degrading and disgraceful to the legacy of black Americans whose ancestors lived through slavery and now gained their freedom, that they have turned these very amendments that sustain freedom for black Americans and equality, and they've turned it into a justification to murder black babies who are the number one target of abortion. All babies are, but by proportion, the most aborted babies are black babies. And the very amendments used to sustain the civil rights of black Americans enshrined in our document are used by wicked, wicked, oftentimes white liberal judges to justify murdering black babies. As we know, we've all often heard that statistic that in New York City, at least in 2018, and maybe more often than that, the birth rate of black babies is lower than the abortion death rate of black babies in New York City. In other words, they're killing more black babies through abortion in New York than are being born. This is at the hands of bureaucrats. Disgusting. Let me wrap this up. Give me a moment. That's the 14th Amendment. The 15th Amendment, obviously we know, is the right to vote for all citizens. 15th Amendment, Section 1, the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. So, all citizens can vote, black, white, and everyone, and you can't deny voting based on race. That's all the Civil War amendments were, and they manipulated that in order to try and justify and create some right to privacy that sustains abortion. How despicable and wicked. I wanted to get into the idea of epistemology and how we determine what's true. Maybe we'll get to that next week. But all of this is representative of a very poor epistemology, which is how we know what we know, how we know what is true. Liberal theologians do the same thing with the Bible that liberal judges do with the law. They twist it and reinterpret it, and words don't mean what they mean, and words don't mean what those words are, and they mean something else, and there's something reading between the lines, and that's exactly what they do in Genesis 1 when they say, no, it wasn't 6 days when it says on day 1 God created, on day 3 God created, there was evening and morning the next day. And in 6 days, God created. On the seventh day, he rested. Therefore, the Sabbath is holy. No, we don't take that literally. Day means millions of years. Twisting it so that you don't have absolute objective truth, you have relative truth. And it's the same thing. That's a loose interpretation of the Bible. And what we call that in jurisprudence, in politics, in the law, is loose constructionism. A loose construction of the law. It is activist judges who actively twist the words and say, no, the Constitution doesn't mean what it says it means in the 14th Amendment. About abolishing slavery, guaranteeing the right to vote, guaranteeing equal protection under the law and due process under the law for all citizens, regardless of race. Doesn't mean that. It means kill babies. Twisting it. Changing your epistemology so that it's fluid, not written in stone, not concrete, but fluid, manipulated, so that you can justify any wicked, evil doctrine or imposition on the people that you can conjure up in your head. Relative morality, relative truth. Guys, it's the same thing. The devil works in the courts and the law, and he works through the scriptures, and it's twisting the truth. Did God really say? Is that true? And yet we know that the Bible is concrete and written in stone, just like the Ten Commandments. And when they tell you that the Constitution is a living and breathing document, they're liars, because that's what gives you penumbras and shadow doctrines to justify their evil. It's not living and breathing and fluid and moving and changing with every generation. It's written and etched in stone and carved into our heritage. And the pen stroke uses the ink of the blood of patriots who paid for those freedoms and that law enshrined in our documents. It is written in stone with the blood of patriots and citizens. We can't back down on this. There, I just did it for you. A little bit longer today. Roe v. Wade was ruled in 1973. On June 24th, 2022, Roe was overturned. 49 years later, give glory to God. It says this in scripture, in Leviticus. You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, that's 49 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Folks, in 2022, in June, Roe was overturned 49 years later, and on the 7th month, which is July, we celebrate our great heritage as Americans on the 4th of July, the 7th month of the 49th year, let us proclaim liberty throughout the land. How awesome is that in God's providential plan? What timing, as I said, give glory to God. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. The law is written in stone. The word of God is written in stone. That's what law is. And if we maintain a right, objective philosophy of ethics and morality and truth, we will not change the meaning, but we will stand for truth at all times, in all cases. See you next week.